الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, how can we say it? Spiel for this talk, as is mentioned in the brochure that you all have, emphasizes what does it mean to be in a global community as a Muslim student. For one thing, it means that as Muslims, and especially those of you who are students, cannot have your head in the sand, like the ostrich, the proverbial ostrich, and pretend that things that are happening all around us are not happening. And I think that if we can summarize what I heard from Dr. Hatem's talk, is we have to be serious people. Islam is not a joke. It's not cute. And one of the reasons that we've inverted the tradition, as Dr. Hatem said, is that we're trying to make Islam cute, because we figure if it's cute enough, the people who are responsible for a lot of suffering in this world, they'll just leave Muslims alone. No, roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and Islam is too. Yes, Islam promotes peace. And yes, Islam does not advocate the kind of mindless terrorism that we see being perpetrated periodically and put before the world in bold headlines, as if Muslims have cornered the market on lunatics. Right? The lunacy that's being perpetrated in the West Bank, where missiles that explode into fragments of razor sharp metal, ripping children apart. You never see that on CNN. And that's just as insane as those maniacs who took over the school in Russia. And part of the responsibility of students is to tell people that, because you don't have anything to lose. All right, if your parents don't want to tell anyone because they fear they might lose their job, or if the big Islamic daddy doesn't want to tell anyone because he or she fears they might compromise the integrity of their organization, then what's your excuse? What do you have to lose? So I think what Dr. Hatem is saying is that we have to be serious. First off, we have to be serious. And we have to recognize and acknowledge that people are suffering. Muslims are suffering. I just came back, and maybe I'm speaking like this, I just came back from overseas, a brief trip to the Muslim world. And our brothers and sisters are suffering over there. They're suffering. And they're suffering, by and large, in many places, because of the arrogance, the racism, and the hypocritical position and policies of our government. And as students, you should not be afraid to tell people that. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it? Your parents? If you don't do it, who's going to do it? If all of us are cowed into submission and cowed into silence, then we are being morally irresponsible, because we see how this hypocrisy and this racism is unfolding before our very eyes. And it's not just the Muslims who are suffering as a result of it. People in general are suffering. Humanity is suffering. We are living in an age in this country, first and foremost, there's never been an age where there's been a greater disparity between the rich and the poor here in America. There's never been a time when the disparity between the rich and the poor in this country has been greater. There's never been a time when there have been more individuals incarcerated in this country, or any other country for that matter. You can read about the Gulag Archipelago, or the other works of Alexander Solzhenitsyn and other critics of Stalinist Russia. But we have more people incarcerated in America right now than in the old Soviet Union. We have 2.2 million people in prison in this country, and the number is rising. And 50% of those are African Americans, who comprise less than 15% of the population. And the overwhelming majority are from other minority groups. And if Muslims don't challenge this racism, it's going to claim us sooner or later. You can bet your bottom dollar. You don't have to wait until Muslims are filling up the prisons. And a lot of people out there would like to see Muslims filling up the prisons before we speak out against it. There's imbalances, there are injustices all over this world. And Muslims are being cowed into submission and cowed into not speaking out against it. And part of the way that's happening is trying to tell us we have no moral leg to stand on. Because your people brought down the Twin Towers. How many people died? And if one person died, it's one too many. But how many people died on that fateful day? 3,000 people died. And in those trade towers, and don't let people forget that over 10% of them were Muslims. 350 Muslims died. 350 Muslims. A number that's tremendously disproportionate to the percentage of Muslims in the overall population. Let people know about it. Don't just sit there. So, because Muslims were on those planes, according to the official version of the story, then you Muslims don't have a moral leg to stand on. So what do you say? Just shut up? As a Muslim student, just shut up? Say, well, if that's the case, if you're living in a glass house, don't throw any stones. If you're living in a glass house, don't throw any stones. If you're not willing to condemn the atomic bombing of the civilian population of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which resulted in 200,000 people dying, if you're not willing to condemn the firebombing of the civilian population of Tokyo, which resulted in one night 100,000 people dying, if you're not willing to condemn the firebombing of Dresden or Hamburg or Berlin, the civilian populations of those cities, then don't tell me that as a Muslim, I have no moral legs to stand on because 3,000 people died in the Trade Center. If you're living in a glass house, don't throw any stones. That's the responsibility of the Muslim students, because people are suffering and people are dying. People are suffering and dying. And those same hypocrites who are so quick to point the finger at Muslims, they couldn't care less about those people. Because if they did, it wouldn't be happening. They have the resources to stop it. They don't care about those 3 million people that died in the Congo and are still dying. They don't care about the babies who are dying in Palestine and are still dying. They don't care about this wall that's being built, illegally built, on Palestinian land that's being usurped. And the consequences of that, the suffering that it entails, the destruction of any semblance of a viable Palestinian economy. They only care about one thing: holding on to power, even if it means raping the entire earth. People are suffering. Muslims are suffering. Innocent human beings of all religions are suffering because of this. The environment is suffering. The environment is suffering. Open up the national parks to oil exploration. Get rid of any EPA Superfund sites. Take away any regulation that's designed to preserve and protect the environment for future generations. The environment is suffering. The oceans have been overfished. Why are the sharks attacking people and moving closer in? Because the fish they eat have been taken away from them. Their food has been taken away from man, so they say, okay, we'll make man our food. Sounds like a fair proposition. Sounds just. Makes a lot of sense, huh? Men ate up all of our food, so we'll eat up men. Sharks are smart. They have a more keen consciousness, moral consciousness than a lot of people. That's just. So brothers and sisters, have the courage to stand up for the truth. Have the courage to question injustice. And more importantly, have the conviction to prepare yourself to do something about it. Now's the time. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be a doctor. But if you want to be a doctor just so you can make a lot of money and you can live a plush life, think about it morally. If that's the moral equation you're working with, you should reassess it. Half the people in the hospital, if they knew better, they wouldn't even want the drugs. They'd rather be cured. So, brothers and sisters, really, think about it. So there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a doctor. But if you want to be a doctor just to make a lot of money, there are other ways to do that that's a lot easier. If you want to be a doctor, at least you should be thinking about doing something to serve the underserved. And you don't have to necessarily go to Bangladesh. I mean, it would be good if you spent 6 months there and 6 months here. That would be wonderful. But you could just go downtown. You could go to Harlem, where the infant mortality rate is the same as it is in Bangladesh, and do something about that. You could go to the Ummah Free Clinic. They have trouble getting Muslim doctors to volunteer for the Ummah Free Clinic. They have maybe collectively more Jewish and Hindu doctors because Muslims are scared to go down there. Because in South Central, there's gangs down there. Like some gangster's going to shoot at you. You know, I got a red hijab. They might think I'm a blood. But put on a black hijab. Yalla, bismillah. And then go on down and help out. Help out. Don't make excuses, brothers and sisters. People are suffering in this country. So if you're a doctor, spend some of your time on the Indian reservations. Spend some of your time in the barrio. Spend some of your time in the inner city neighborhoods working in free clinic. Set up a free clinic. Get your doctor friends together and say, you know, let's do something constructive. And set up a free clinic. And go serve the underserved. Serve the underserved. If you want to be a sheikh, I want to be an alim. Everyone wants to go to Mauritania, go to Yemen, go to Syria, go to here, go there. Alhamdulillah, that's good. But if you don't have a mind to come back and give Islam to people who need it, people come back and start arguing with Muslims. Say, you know, and calling people to their sheikh or their movement, other Muslims. Go call some non-Muslims to that. Then you won't, they won't argue with you. You call a Muslim, say, you know, that sounds like Hizb Fulan. You know, our family's with Hizb Fulan. We don't listen to those people. They're people of bid'ah. See, you go to a non-Muslim, they don't even know what bid'ah is. So you won't get an argument. You go with anything. You go with subha, anything. Just say, mashallah. They'll learn Arabic. Mashallah. You go to Muslims and you have what you have. People arguing and bickering and bumping heads with each other, tripping over each other, getting in each other's way. Serve the underserved. People need Islam. People can benefit from Islam. Go bring them Islam instead of trying to bring a Muslim Islam. And we call that da'wah. A person's already Muslim. Pray 5 times a day. Sister wear hijab. I have to give her da'wah. She's not wearing niqab. That's da'wah. Well, how about the one out there that's selling her body and dehumanizing herself because she's caught up in all this confusion? Go give her some da'wah. Instead of arguing with another Muslim. We've been messed up. We've been messed up. As a result, we're not giving the message of Islam to people. And that's why a lot of people, they're vulnerable for the propaganda. Don't get mad. There's a great American saying. Don't get mad, get even. Don't get mad, get even. So we hear all these people, conservative commentators, yeah, we need to just run all these Muslims out of Dodge. You know, Jim Bob, all y'all, go get your shotgun. First Muslim you see, just blow the sucker away. And you hear that and you're getting mad, stuck for law, ubu billah. Don't get mad, get even. How do you get even? Go teach the people Islam. So those, that propaganda will fall on deaf ears. But as long as there's a vacuum, they might be vulnerable. They're just a bunch of cold-blooded killers. Look what they did to them children in Russia. We ought to go take over a mosque like that and blow up everybody. When there's a vacuum, that propaganda starts to affect people. It's the Goebbels, the big lie. If you tell a big enough lie with enough conviction long enough, people will start believing you. So don't get mad. Go out there and let people know what Islam is. How did Islam, and we should stop sloganizing about the past. In Arabic we have kana wa akhawatuha. You heard of that? Kana, sara, laysa, mazala, madama. Kana wa akhawatuha. Now in Islam we have kana wa akhwanuha. Kana and her brothers. So those are the people always talking about how great Islam was. Kana al-Muslimun yusaytiruna ala al-alam. Kana al-Muslimun yabnuna al-qusur wal-masajid. Kana al-Muslimun, kana al-Muslimun, kana al-Muslimun. That's kana wa ikhwanuha. Forget that. Tilka al-umma qad khalat. لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون. That's an ummah, they've passed away. They'll have what they have, the good they did, they'll get rewarded for that, and you will be rewarded for what you do, and you won't be asked about what they were doing. We'll be asked about what we're doing. What we're doing right now, brothers and sisters. What we're doing to represent Islam. What we're doing to teach Islam. What we're doing. Islam didn't spread from China, so Kana wa ikhwanuha. Kana and her brothers. So Islam, the Muslims took Islam from the Pyrenees. Or maybe the Pyrenees. And Baris. To the wall of China.
100 years. How did they do that? Sitting around talking to each other, talking to Muslims? They did it by going out there in the world, that hostile world of non-Muslims, and getting on their horses and getting on their feet and going to those people and learning their languages and presenting Islam and being exemplars of Islam through their own life and their own conduct and their own behavior. That's how they did it. So instead of talking about what they did, it's time to make our own history right here through what we're doing. Through what we're doing. So prepare yourself for that. Prepare yourself educationally, spiritually. Read your Quran. Say your adhkar. Get up for Fajr. Stay up a little at night. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Educate yourself with an idea that I'm going to serve humanity. Be a doctor, be a lawyer, but serve the people. Serve the people and don't serve yourself. Because Muslims, this ummah isn't about serving ourselves. Kuntum khayr ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas. You're the best community raised up for the people, not for ourselves. And when we start serving ourselves, Allah is going to take His help away from us. He's going to take His help away. He's going to take the tawfiq away. He's going to take the izz away. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah will help the servant as long as he's helping his brother. Make a niyyah that whatever I do, I'm going to help my brothers and help my sisters in humanity. And with that conviction, and with that determination, and with that intention, inshallah we'll have tawfiq and we'll make a difference in this world. We'll make a difference in this country. And alhamdulillah, through the little we've done, we've made a difference. We've made a difference. But we could do a lot more. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Assalamu alaikum.